Still, I wondered. Did I think he was flirting with me? I hadn't actually thought of it that way, but it felt something like it. Sorry, I ended up saying a silent minute later. We were standing in the chip aisle. I was deciding between flavored pretzels and Doritos Cool Ranch chips when Kale grabbed a bag of Funyuns and tossed it into the cart. I used to love those when I was younger, I told him. My best friend Sammy and I ate them all the time. Oh my God, that and Mountain Dew. My mom wouldn't let me drink it, but Sammy's mom always had the Kroger brand version that was actually better. I was totally rambling. Kale seemed to be more relaxed than he was a few seconds ago. I didn't look at him as long as I wanted to, or tell him how much I missed Sammy since she got married and moved across the country like I wanted to. Not the married part, just the move the hell away from here part. We didn't talk again until we checked out separately. We both had to show our ID cards, his active duty and mine a dependent ID. He was a gentleman and helped me load my car, carry the bags into my house, and he even asked if he could help unpack them. I hated that my brain was trying to figure out why he was so nice. It was like I couldn't just accept kind gestures or compliments from people, like I wasn't worthy of them. But as much as he made me feel flustered and a little bit paranoid, I was starting to kind of like the way I felt around him. As long as he didn't think we were going to end up hooking up. He hadn't mentioned a girlfriend or anyone in his life at all, though he hadn't exactly been forthcoming. But we weren't doing anything wrong. Nothing. Just grocery shopping and sharing a living space for a few days. If I was his girlfriend, I wouldn't be too happy about him staying with two women, regardless if one was pregnant or not. Why was I back to assuming he had a girlfriend, or that he would even like me? Hell, I didn't even know him enough to like him that way, and he looked like the kind of man that every woman was drawn to. I realized that I was a little more interested in him than I had admitted to myself. I was sort of freaking out, and he was in the seat next to me. I could feel his eyes on my face.
Everything okay?
He asked after all the groceries were put away. It took half the time with him helping, and I didn't have to tell him to recycle the paper and plastics. We were both sitting at the table now. He was scrolling through a cell phone, and I was eating my second granola bar and getting ready to leave for work. I could hear the shower from down the hall, so I knew Aility was up. Thank God. I couldn't imagine telling Molly that Aility was going to be late again. Through my lashes, I tried to watch Kale without him noticing. He noticed immediately, like the good soldier I was sure he was. I felt the words building in my throat and didn't want to stop them. I had to know. Do you have a girlfriend? I blurted out.
No. Do you? Have a boyfriend, I mean. Or a girlfriend.
I shook my head. My fingers felt like they were shaking against the cold back of the chair. No, neither. He let out a breath and stood up. My eyes followed his movement from the fridge to the cabinet to grab a glass and back to the fridge. He poured himself some milk, splashing a little onto the floor. If I could have had one thing in that moment, it would have been for him to say something, anything. My throat felt like it was on fire. My whole body felt like it was on fire. So we'll be gone until later, but we always have our phones on at work. If my brother comes by, let him in. Kale nodded. I watched as he cleaned up the splashed milk that I'd assumed would dry on the floor with the rest of the random spillage that had accumulated since I'd mopped about 2 weeks ago. Aility came walking down the hallway with her short hair soaked, staining the shoulders of her gray t-shirt.
The shower is finally fixed.
What do you mean? I made my way down the hallway toward the bathroom.
The temperature. You had it fixed, right? She asked.
I passed her, shaking my head. Sure enough, when I went into the bathroom and turned the shower on, it was immediately warm. I turned it to cold. Immediately cold. The pressure was even stronger, like a normal shower. Such luxury. I have no idea how it's fixed. I'm glad it is, though, because... I started to say. My eyes landed on Kale's, and he licked his lips, turning his cheek slightly away from me. You? It dawned on me. Did you fix it? Somehow I knew he did, even though it was such a foreign concept to me. Kale nodded sheepishly.
It wasn't a big thing. It was just a loose pipe. It took me less than 5 minutes.
Elodie walked toward him, her hair dripping as she moved.
You are so nice. Oh, I can't wait to tell Philip. Thank you, thank you,
she told him, hugging one of his arms. First the gas, now fixing my shower. Of course, I thought it was nice of him, but it also made me feel helpless. What she said. I was annoyed, and they both picked up on it. Okay, gotta go. I'm going to be late. See you at 11. I hugged Elodie and walked to the front door. I didn't look back at Kale as I walked out. I knew I would feel guilty if I did. He did something nice for me. It was not only thoughtful, but practical. I appreciated it. I did. But I also didn't want him to treat me like I needed help fixing things. I bought that house to prove that I was no damsel. Chapter 25. My morning was the same as always. Two elderly retirees and one married soldier who came in the same time almost every week. He never made an appointment, but I always kept the spot open for him. He was nice and easy, tipped well, and didn't groan and moan while I did my job. I now had free time to help clean up around the spa and avoid walk-ins, as much as they could be avoided. I didn't like the uncertainty of them. They were always uncomfortable, and they hardly ever came back. Even the fittest of bodies let their insecurities shine in my room. It was comforting and disheartening to know that other people thought of their bodies in the same harmful way that I did. I was pulling out my second round of towels from the dryer when I thought of how I used to have to roll silverware when I waitressed at a steakhouse. I guess all jobs come with add-on chores.
That guy came here for you,
Molly told me while we folded towels.
What guy? The one you used to like, she said.
The way she wrapped "like" around her tongue made me feel like a child. Oh, Brian. Great.
When? About 10 minutes before you got here.
I dropped a towel onto the pile before I folded it.
What? Why didn't you tell me?
She snickered.
Because I was afraid you would call him, and we can't have that.
She shrugged her shoulders. I gaped at her, grabbed the towel, and threw it at her. I would not call him, by the way. I may have been a little defensive. Anyway, I didn't think I'd call, even if I was curious to know why he came by. I know I didn't leave my earring in his bed, that's for sure. I guess I could call him after my lunch break. Okay, so maybe Molly was right.
Mm-hmm.
She nodded yes with her lips jutted out sarcastically. The deep wrinkles on her bronzed skin made her look extra serious, though I knew she was mostly teasing. She'd never liked Brian, and even cut off the electricity in the lobby when he came to see me the first time after our breakup. In her defense, I was crying, and he was accusing me of something that I couldn't even remember anymore. That must have meant I was innocent, right? Truth was, I wasn't as sad as everyone thought I should be after we broke up. And truth was, I'd used him to fill something broken inside of me. That's what most relationships actually boiled down to. Molly interrupted my sour memories of Brian.
We have a walk-in, she said.
Her back was hunched so she could see the little security television screen. I couldn't make out whether it was a man or a woman, but I knew Elodie had just started on her 2:30 appointment, and we were the only two in until 4, when 3 more therapists came in for the night shift. I'll take it. I don't have any more appointments today. Honestly, I was hoping there wouldn't be any walk-ins, and that I would be able to do laundry, clean my room, and help Molly with the bookkeeping, instead of giving a massage, but this was my job. This is what I chose. That's what I told myself every time my fingers ached, or my head pounded from the smell of bleach on the towels just after they'd been washed. I pushed through the curtain in the lobby to find Kale walking around the small space, almost pacing. There were only a few chairs in the lobby, but between them and the front desk, they took up so much space. I watched him walk back and forth before I pushed all the way through the curtain. Hey, I greeted Kale, my stomach tied in a knot.
Hey.
We stood there, standing in the thick smell of incense and the dim lights in the room. The old PC tower on the floor hummed between us. Is everything okay? As I asked, it dawned on me that he might be there for a reason.
Yeah. I came to get a massage, actually.
He held up his hands. Really?
Yeah. Is that okay?
His voice was soft, an unsure question. I nodded and brought my hand up to my mouth. I didn't know why I was smiling, but I was, and I couldn't stop. Chapter 26. I pulled back the curtain to my room. I'll give you 2 minutes or so to undress and I'll be back, I told him. Kale stood by the table with his arms crossed. His sweats hung on his hips and his skin glowed in the candlelight. I couldn't remember the last time I liked looking at someone as much as I did Kale. It fascinated me. He fascinated me. I didn't know what it was about him, but he got more attractive every time I looked at him. I moved out into the dark hallway and took a deep breath. I told myself that it wouldn't be weird. I did this all day, every day. He was just a regular client. A stranger, really. I barely knew him, and on top of that, I had already given him a massage. I pulled my phone from my pocket to see if Austin had called me back yet. Nothing. I texted my dad. Anything to distract myself. I could hear Molly talking to her husband down the hall. Something about extending a hot stone promotion we had going this month. She was always trying to come up with new promotions and semi-free marketing for their small business. It was impressive to watch her keep this place full of steady clientele, even though there were parlors on nearly every block outside of each gate. Most were about $30, some more, some less, some shady, some not. A text from my dad popped up on my screen. Austin is okay. He's asleep right now. I shoved my phone into the pocket of my uniform. It had to have been 2 minutes, if not longer. Can I come in? I touched the curtain.
Yeah.
He was face down on the massage table, his head in the cradle, the white sheet resting at his waistline. Do you remember what you liked and didn't like last time? I asked, mostly just for my own consumption.
Everything was good.
Okay, so I'll apply the same pressure and see where we go from there? I asked him. He nodded. I grabbed the towel and went through the motions. The warm towel glided easily across the bottom of his feet. He was wearing his sweats on the table again, the black fabric peeking out of the bottom of the white sheet. I almost pushed them up a little so I could rub his ankles more thoroughly, but something told me not to. He was wearing the pants for a reason, and though I could admit to myself that I was dying to know what that reason was, I didn't want to make him uncomfortable or cross any boundaries. I pressed my thumb into the pad of flesh right under the line of his toes, and he groaned. I eased up, and his tense body relaxed. He rolled his ankle to get rid of the feeling. It was a sore spot for a lot of people. Sorry, it usually releases tension. I walked back around to the top of the table, where his head was, and reached for my oils. No peppermint, right? I asked him.
No thanks. I hate the smell.
Okay, then. I'll use one without a smell. Will that work? His head nodded in the cradle. I rubbed the warm oil between my hands and started at the base of his neck. The cords of his muscles were thick around his neckline and down his shoulders. In a way, he looked like someone built to fight, to protect. But sometimes he seemed so boyish, silly even, someone who should be kept out of harm's way. Aility is here, I told him. He stayed quiet as I moved my hands across his soft skin. His shoulders held a little less tension than yesterday. Holy shit. It had literally only been a day since he came in for Aility. I met her in training for my therapist license. She had just gotten here from France after researching programs for military spouses. I remember how thick her beautiful accent used to feel to me. She was so determined and was taking the first day so seriously. I was drawn to her almost immediately, I explained. He laughed a little. His shoulders danced with slight amusement. Philip's as nice as I think he is, yeah? I asked Kale while we were on the subject. He stayed quiet for a few seconds.
He's a good guy.
Promise? Because he brought her here from another country with no family and no friends here. I worry about her.
He's a good guy, he said again.
I needed to stop grilling him and just do my job. I kept thinking about more and more to say to him. But he didn't come here to talk to me. He came here to get a treatment for his aching body. I moved down his back and up his arms, settling into my normal groove. I did the same thing most treatments. Medium pressure, a little more oil than most therapists use. The song playing was an older Beyoncé song, and I let the music fill the quiet air until about 20 minutes later, when I asked him to roll onto his back. He closed his eyes when he turned over, and I took the liberty of studying his face. His sharp jawline, the light stubble under his chin. He took a deep breath when I tucked my hands under his back and raked them up his skin, pressing and stretching the muscles in his back. I opened my mouth to ask Hale about shopping tonight, then closed it. Seconds later, I almost asked him what sounded good for dinner. Then I almost told him that I loved the song that was playing, and in my head I was telling him how Molly let me have my own music playing in my room. Something about him just made me want to speak. Almost. I wasn't sure what to make of it. I sighed. I couldn't chit-chat to him the whole time he was on my table. It was unprofessional. I repeated that to myself a few times. I checked the time. Only 2 minutes had gone by since I'd had him roll over. Fuck my life. I wanted to tell him that time was going so slow, or ask him if he could smell the caramel cake candle I'd had burning since I opened. Everything good? I asked finally. He nodded.
How's your brother?
His question surprised me. I thought he'd have come to my house as soon as he arrived to town, but I guess not, I said. He's asleep at my dad's now. I still haven't gotten to talk to him alone. It's so frustrating. We used to be so close. Hale kept his eyes closed. I was kneading my closed fists down his shoulders and arms, his eyes clenched shut. Sorry I'm talking so much. I seem to do that a lot. I laughed, but it sounded so fake. Probably because it was. Kale's eyes opened for a second and he leaned his head up, forcing eye contact.
It's fine. I don't mind it.
I looked away and he laid his head back down. Thanks, I think. I teased, and my stomach flipped when his face broke into the biggest smile I had seen on him yet. Chapter 27. I was waiting for Kale when I got Aelity's text with the BuzzFeed link. She was the queen of Is It Your Fault You're Single quizzes and Are Women Taking Over the Self-Employment Industry articles. This one was 25 Things You Need to Know About Target. I was one click away from finding out something new about Pringles and Tide Pods or maybe how to spot the quickest checkout line when Kale appeared in the lobby. Hi, I said. I hope everything was okay.
Yeah, thanks, he answered.
I rang him up and handed over the credit card slip to sign. I'd never felt anxious seeing a client scribble his name across that little black line before, so this was new. And of course, Kale wasn't giving anything up, which left room for me to fill in the blanks. First, I wondered if he'd come back for another massage. Then it was, what's going to happen when he stops crashing on my couch? He left me a $12 tip on a $45 massage. It was more than generous. Certainly, it was more than I usually got. I felt a little weird about it, like he was giving me charity or something, or paying for my time, which I guess he was. But I did need the money, so I took it with a smile. Okay, the smile was mostly forced, but he couldn't tell. At least, I didn't think he could. I thought about how I had talked through half of his massage. It probably didn't make for the most relaxing experience. Sorry I talked so. Kale cut me off before I could finish.
No,
he said, and offered me a friendly shrug of his shoulders.
It's cool.
I was learning him, but I still couldn't tell whether he was lying or not. Wouldn't he be at least a little annoyed by all my nervous chatter? Okay, he asked me a question or two, but I was the one who talked about my shifts and how my brother was causing me major stress over his second arrest. I almost spent the next few minutes talking about my brother and how I was worried about him. But for once, I didn't want this to be about Austin. Maybe I wanted to seem more mature than I was, or maybe I wanted to protect Austin from a stranger's opinion. Whatever the reason, I moved on to something else. What color should I paint the walls in here? I had asked him.
What color do you want to paint them?
He'd answered. And is it overly decorated in here? I'd asked.
I didn't notice,
he'd answered. And do you feel like you're in an expensive spa in a big city instead of here in this strip mall?
Shrug.
Kale answered with a word or two now and then, but mostly it was my voice that filled the room. We were in the lobby now, not exactly a therapeutic space, but he was still playing the strong silent type. Do you want a receipt? I read the prompt from the credit card machine.
Of course.
He held out his hand. Of course. Such certainty over a credit card receipt. I teased him. I was beginning to love doing that. He reacted differently nearly every time. It was fascinating.
Responsible, he said.
He almost smiled as he tucked the receipt into his wallet. It was leather, light brown and obviously well used.
Sure,
I snorted. Whatever you say.
Better hope you don't get audited.
No smile this time, but he did give me a raised eyebrow. Molly was watching everything closely. When Kale came out into the lobby after his session, she had been busy nearby, humming to herself while wiping the fingerprints from the glass door. Now she'd given up even the pretense of cleaning. See you tonight? I asked.
Yeah, for sure.
He waved to me and said a polite goodbye to Molly, calling her ma'am and all. The door closed and she turned her attention to me. Hmm? I knew what she was thinking. What hmm? I closed the cash register and stuck the tip in my pocket. Her eyes fell on the door again, and a Cheshire cat grin spread across her face. Oh, nothing. Stop gossiping, I told her, as I disappeared down the hallway. Chapter 28. I was keen to go home while the sun was shining for once. That's why I didn't stay to clean as thoroughly as I usually did. I still put a load of towels into the dryer and opened a couple of boxes of product and put everything away, but my coworkers could do a little more to pick up the slack around here. I was okay with that. The alley was busy when I left. Bradley was helping a customer load a king-size mattress into the back of a truck when he waved to me, friendly as ever. I pulled out my phone to open Instagram when my brother's name popped up on the screen. Austin, what the hell is going on? Are you okay? I didn't bother with hello. I had no time for formalities.
I'm fine, it's fine, really care. It's not that big of a deal. It was just a fight.
A fight with who?
He sighed for a second. Some guy, I don't know. I was out somewhere and this guy was giving a girl at the bar shit.
I rolled my eyes and pressed my body against the trees lining the alleyway so a van full of kids could pass. So you're telling me that this whole thing stemmed from your chivalry? Austin was good at spinning things. He would make a wonderful publicist for a messy celebrity. Or a horrible husband.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, he said, laughing.
His voice was calming. It was like hearing an old song you had forgotten you loved. I'd really missed him. Right, so how much trouble are you in?
I don't know.
He paused. I thought I heard the flick of a lighter.
Dad bailed me out, which sucks, because now I'm going to owe him money.
Unbelievable. I wish I had his ability to look the other way and not worry about things. He knew he would figure it out, or someone would figure it out for him, before it got too serious. Yeah, because owing Dad money is your biggest problem.
I didn't kill anyone, okay? It was your standard bar fight.
I laughed. I could feel his magic working. I was starting to feel almost okay about his arrest, and the ink on his discharge papers wasn't even dry yet. How did you get into the bar? You're not 21 for another month. This time, it was his turn to be amused.
You're not serious.
Yes, I am. But I was joking, sort of. There was this thin line between me worrying about my brother and just wanting to have fun with him. I was by no means a stickler or super responsible. I was just light years ahead of my twin. The difference was incredibly noticeable. I knew my loser uncle was taking Austin to bars with his gross older friends, probably introducing him to women who downed too much alcohol, wore too much makeup, had too much experience, too much everything.
You're a worrier, you and Dad.
I groaned. I didn't want to worry. I didn't want to be the nagging older by 6 minutes sister, and I certainly didn't want to be anything like my dad. Don't lump me in with Dad. Come on. I just don't want you to be in trouble, that's all. I was almost home.
Yeah, wouldn't want to mess up this bright future of mine.
It was meant to be funny, but a hint of sadness filtered through. Do you want to come over tonight? I miss you.
I can't tonight. I'm meeting up with someone. But tomorrow? Dad and Estelle are going to Atlanta this weekend, so I'll have the house to myself.
House party? I laughed at the memory of Austin's streak of failed house parties throughout high school. Most of the kids our age had been too afraid of the military police to go to a party on post, but fewer people actually made the parties more fun.
Totally.
And I was totally joking. You're not going to have a party at Dad's house.
Yeah, I am.
He could not be serious. Our dad would lose his mind if Austin had a party at his house. I couldn't bear to think of the consequences. You are not. I mean, throwing a party a couple of days after you get arrested? What is wrong with you? We aren't in high school anymore. It was stuff like this that made me return to my family theory, which was that Austin was the one who got all our mother's charm. My little brother was always so good with people. He could be thrust into any situation and people would flock to him. What's that saying? Like, flies to honey? He had all the honey. Me, I was just the opposite. I fluttered around people like Austin, easily charmed, like my father.
Speak for yourself.
How do you even know enough people here to have a party? I mean,
look, I gotta go. See you sometime tomorrow. You should come over. Love you.
He hung up before I could get in another word. Oh, Austin, I love you, but sometimes you make some really shitty life choices. Chapter 29. I was a little surprised to find my front door locked. I dug for my key and let myself in, grabbing my mail from the box on the way. My little mailbox was falling off my house. Another thing to fix. As I slid through envelopes, a realtor's brochure of fancy, expensive houses in Atlanta was on top. I searched for the smiley realtor, Sandra D. It said her name was. The price for a house in Buckhead, with its sparkling swimming pool, was $2 million. Yeah, I freaking wish, Sandra. Until I hit the lottery or my random ideas of opening up a chain of high-end but fair-priced spa experiences takes off, it's my little house with the dangling red mailbox for me. When I got inside, the house was heavy with silence. I went through the rest of my mail. Nothing interesting, mainly bills and flyers. And because the entire house smelled of Ailey's popcorn and it made my stomach growl, I grabbed some pretzels from my pantry. My house felt different with no sound. It felt strange not hearing the name Olivia Pope every few minutes. I was completely alone. No Ailey, no Kale. We didn't agree on a time or anything, but I guess I just assumed that he would be at my house when I got off work. Where else would he go? I microwaved the last of the leftovers from Molly. I washed a load of dishes, sat at my kitchen table, grabbed the paperback I was reading, and tried to pick up where I had left off. I kept thinking about Kale, wondering how he would be when we went shopping. Would he be more talkative, or would it be a silent excursion? I loved to torture myself with second thoughts. So now I was thinking that maybe I had misconstrued the whole situation, and that Kale was under the impression I would be dropping him off to shop by himself. Then I convinced myself that I had invited myself to shop with him, and that he probably thought I was weird or pushy, or both. 10 minutes later, I was back to reality. No way would Kale be sitting around overthinking our conversation, wherever he was. I was totally overreacting. Overthinking, overreacting. Not exactly skills I could put on my resume. I put the book down without having read a word, then picked up my phone and went through Facebook, typing Kale Martin in the search box. No change in his profile, and I still couldn't bring myself to send him a friend request. I clicked out of his page and went to my inbox, as if I was expecting an important email or something. I was pacing around my room before I knew it, going in circles, getting myself worked up. I stopped dead in my tracks when I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror. With my dark hair pulled back, my eyes wild, I looked like my mother. Frighteningly like my mother. I lay on my bed and grabbed my book again, but soon felt like I needed a change of scenery, so I went to the living room and flopped on the couch. I checked the time on my phone. Almost 7. I picked up where I left off on my last dog-eared page. I had never been a bookmark kind of girl, and let Hemingway's brutal tale take me to the First World War. It wasn't the distraction I had hoped for, though. The closer I got to sleep, the more Kale's face appeared on multiple characters. He was a drill sergeant, a wounded soldier, an ambulance driver, and he looked at me like he recognized my eyes. I woke up on the couch, the sun bright on my face. I looked around the living room, gathering my thoughts. Kale hadn't come back. Chapter 30. It would be 3 days before I saw him again. When we finally crossed paths again, I was sitting on my front porch, trying to get my feet into a new pair of shoes I had seen on Instagram. I knew that the IG model I followed had most likely been paid to wear them, but I still had to have them. Per the caption, they were the best and so comfy, heart eye emoji. Maybe for her. I could barely get the first one on. I mean, the darn thing just wouldn't go over my heel. I was tugging on the shoe, leaning back on the porch like some kind of idiot, when Kale pulled up in his gigantic Jeep truck thing. Nice timing. He must have gone shopping after all, since he was head to toe in civilian clothes. Black jeans, a rip on one knee, and a white cotton shirt with gray sleeves that looked almost identical to one that I had. The only difference was that mine said tomahawks on it and had a picture of an actual tomahawk. My best friend from South Carolina gave it to me. It was from her old high school in Indiana somewhere. I wondered if her Midwestern home had been like the place where my mom grew up, a little town that was hit hard by the advances of technology, causing factory after factory to close down completely. I also knew horror stories from the place, like when the hyper school children had gone on field trips to sacred Native American burial grounds, what they called Indian mounds, and stomped all over them while being taught a false history of dangerous savages. No mention that these people were victims of genocide, or that we had taken their land and forced them into poverty today. Come to think of it, I didn't really want to wear that shirt anymore. Kale stopped just short of my porch. Hey, stranger, I said to him. He tucked his lips in and shook his head, then nodded. I guess that was his way of saying hello. Looking for Aility? Little Mama was spending her Friday night at the monthly family readiness group meeting for Philip's brigade. She was determined to make the other wives like her before the baby came. I didn't blame her. She needed all the support she could get. I'll tell her you stopped by.
No, actually, I just... Kale paused. I went to get a massage, but you weren't working.
He looked down the alleyway toward the shop. Oh. Now that was a surprise. I scooted over on the porch and made room next to me. Sort of. I had been blowing the seeds off dandelions in between my Cinderella act, so Kale had to move a pile of bald weeds before he could sit down. He dropped them softly into the palm of my hand.
I could use some wishes for sure, he said.
There's more if you want, I pointed to my weed garden. I hadn't meant to harbor all those dandelions, wild daisies, and creeping something or other, but there they were by the corners of my concrete porch, surrounded.
I'm good, he told me.
He looked so different in regular clothes. I see you went shopping. He was obviously okay sitting in silence, but I wanted some conversation. Plus, I wanted to know where he'd disappeared to. Kale pulled at his t-shirt.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's been kind of a crazy few days.
I had to ask. Crazy how? He sighed, picking up a dandelion stem from the steps.
Long story.
I leaned back on my palms. Yeah?
When do you work again?
He asked a moment later. A plane flew overhead right as I started to answer. Tomorrow, but only for 2 hours. I'm filling in for someone.
Do you have any openings?
He was looking at me, his dark eyes hooded by his long lashes. Maybe.
Maybe?
He raised his brows and I laughed. He was soft today. I liked this relaxed version of him. Kale the civilian. I'm going to a party tonight, I told him. It's at my dad's house. He made a face. Yes, exactly. Only worse because my brother is being an idiot and throwing it while my dad and his wife are off in Atlanta at the Marriott, eating lobster tails and boozing with expensive wine. I rolled my eyes. My dad never took my mom anywhere like that. They never had adult time without my brother and me. One of the many reasons they didn't work out. That and the fact that they were the two least compatible people on Earth.
Your dad doesn't seem like the kind of guy who wants a party thrown at his house, Kale observed. especially when he's not there.
If only he knew. Oh, he's not. That's why I'm going to chaperone. He made a noise, something between a grunt and a laugh. He was actually amused. I was really liking this, the way I was starting to read his face and guess what he was thinking.
Aren't you a little young to be chaperoning?
Ha ha. I stuck my tongue out at him, then snapped my mouth shut as soon as I realized what I'd done. I was flirting with him, and I didn't know how to stop. Who was this person sticking her tongue out at a boy? How old are you, Mr. Expert on Ageism?
That's not what ageism means,
he corrected me with a smile. I scoffed. I was equal parts charmed and surprised. Okay, Mr. Know-it-all, how old are you? He smiled again. So soft.
I'm 20.
I shot up. Really? I could be older than you?
How old are you?
He asked. 21 next month. He licked his pink lips and bit on the bottom one. It was a habit of his I'd noticed.
I turn 21 tomorrow. I win.
I opened my mouth in an O. No way. Show me your ID.
Really?
He questioned. Yes, really, prove it. And then, because I couldn't help myself, I added, I want receipts. He pulled his wallet out from the back pocket of his jeans and handed it to me. The first thing I saw was a picture of two women. One was older than the other by a couple decades or so, but the resemblance was there. I looked up at him, apologizing for the lack of privacy. The picture was obviously old and important, otherwise it wouldn't be in his wallet. Across from the picture of the woman was his military ID card. I read his birthday. Sure as sin, his birthday was tomorrow. So you're older than me by like a month, I gave in.
I told you.
Don't brag. I leaned into Kale and repeated the awkward grocery store shoulder bumping. Only this time, he didn't move away from me or freeze up. This time, on my sunny porch, in ripped jeans and with soft eyes, he pressed his shoulder back into mine. Chapter 31. I haven't sat on my porch in so long. This is nice. It was just me and Kale, with the occasional passing car for company. I'd sit out here almost every day when I first moved in. I couldn't believe it. My porch, my place. I paused for a moment. It feels good, you know? The street in front of you, the house behind you. Talking to Kale was like writing in a diary, sort of. I've always loved sitting out front. Not just here. Did you notice that swing on my dad's porch? I'm not sure if you even saw it, but we moved that swing with us when we were growing up. It came from base to base, from house to house, just like my dad's recliner. I could feel Kale listening, encouraging me to go on. When we first moved to Texas, we didn't have a big enough porch, so we kept it in the shed. It's heavy wood. You can see where it's splintered in a few places and where it's worn down on the arms a little. It's not like that plastic outdoor furniture you get now. What's it called? Rosin?
Resin,
he said, helping me out. That's it, resin. I was thinking about my mom now, how she would sit out front in the dark and stare up at the sky. My mom practically lived on our porch, all year round. She told me once that she believed God was made up of all the stars and that when one burned out, a little bit of the good in the world died with it. Kale's eyes were on me, and I was aware of how the heat was spreading on my cheeks. The way I was talking, well, it was like I was thinking out loud. I barely realized it. I knew that it sounded cheesy. I'd read things like that in books sometimes or had seen it in movies, and it just didn't seem possible. What a cliche. Yet there I was, being opened by a stranger. I mean, it was way more complicated than that, obviously. That was the quick version. There were actually civilizations whose entire religions were based on the whole galaxy of planets and stars. My mom used to tell me about them. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? They were here first. Kale spoke up.
Were they?
His words seemed important. There were so few of them. I guess that's why when he asked me questions, I wanted to really think about my answers. I'm not entirely sure, I finally said. What about you? He shook his head. I think that's okay, I told him. There are so many different religions, too many people to get to agree on one thing.
I think it's okay to take a little time, learn a little more, don't you? Such a heavy question and wrapped in the most casual bow. He sighed, blowing out a puff of air. I could hear the whisper of his words coming together, but couldn't quite make them out. The longer he sat on his opinion, licking slowly at his lips, chewing on his cheek, the more I anticipated his answer. Time melted as I waited.
I think so, he said at long last. I just want to be a good person. I know a lot of people inside and outside the church who are both bad and good. There's so much out there that's bigger than us. I'd rather focus on how to make things better than wonder how we got here in the first place. For now, at least.
He sounded so sure. He kept talking. This was the most he had shared since we met. Usually I was the one going on and on.
I don't know what I believe yet, he said.
There was a long pause before he continued. A car door slammed and my phone buzzed with a text from Elodie. She was going to someone's house, someone named Julie. So everyone except her could have a few drinks. I dimmed my screen and put my phone face down on the concrete porch.
I don't know, he repeated. But I do know that I have a lot of shit to make up for.
His voice slipped a little at the end, and my brain took a bite of his words. The gravity of what he was saying ate at me. My throat burned and I swallowed, trying to dilute it, but it didn't work. It was physically painful to think about the kinds of things Kale had seen at his age. At our age. It was easier not to feel anything at all, but I couldn't do that. I'd always felt so much, ever since I was a child. I was always either burning or floating, moving from one extreme to another. Karina feels things deeply, my mother said of me. She takes things to heart. Kale cleared his throat. I wanted so badly to ask him what he had to make up for, but I knew he wouldn't want that. I could feel him next to me, brewing, but I kept my eyes on the sky. I blinked, watching as blue swirled into orange. I pictured him with a gun strapped to his chest, a boyish smile. I didn't know what he'd experienced over there, but that blank stare on his face. I had to say something. I don't think it works like that. I think you're safe. My words were weak when said, but if he could feel what I felt for him in that moment, he would know it couldn't be further from the truth.
Safe?
He asked as the clouds drifted over us.
From who?
Chapter 32. I didn't hear loud music or see bright lights when I pulled up, and nobody had spilled onto the lawn. That had to be a good sign. Doesn't seem too bad, I said. The bungalow was in the far corner of a quiet cul-de-sac, with a field at the back and houses all around. I had to park on the street because three cars were already in the driveway, two of which I didn't recognize. Plus, there was my dad's van, an ugly white thing he hadn't touched in at least a year. I'd come to hate that van. It wasn't always that way, but pleasant memories of our one Disney road trip had long ago been replaced by ugly arguments and resentments that spilled over from the front seat. My parents didn't have typical husband and wife shouting matches. Even as a child, I remember wishing for some of the honest anger I had heard in other families. Theirs was worse. My mom would use a cold, flat voice to deliver her punches. She hit hard, and she instinctively knew where to strike, how to make it hurt the most. I was a needy girl and wanted her anger to reassure me that she cared. I think my dad wanted it too, but she either couldn't or wouldn't give us that. My dad and I both navigated our losses differently. Kale's phone lit up in his hand. He glanced down and put it in his pocket. I felt important. Prideful as it was, I still felt it. We were walking up the grass when someone I didn't recognize came out of the house and walked towards the street. I saw Kale watch him until we were safely inside. It wasn't anything obvious, just a tilt of the head, an almost imperceptible scan of where this other guy was and what he was doing. It made me wonder what Kale had experienced and what he might fear. I tried not to let it affect my mood, thinking about what he had seen in Afghanistan. I was sure that was the last thing he wanted to talk about the night before his birthday. I led Kale into my dad's house for the second time in a week. Brian had only been there a total of maybe 3 times our entire 4 months of dating. He liked my dad. Well, he liked trying to impress him while staring at Estelle's boobs. She was new back then, her boobs too. Ugh, Brian was the last person I should be thinking of. I looked back at Kale to edge him back into my mind, and also to make sure he was still behind me. Someone's music was playing on the TV screen. It was a Halsey song, so I knew I'd like at least one of these random people. I was relaxing a little now. Austin had been right about the party. So far, anyway. There were only about 10 people there, and everyone seemed to be out of high school, thank God. And there was no sign of Serena or any of her other friends. And as far as I knew, she was Austin's only high school hookup. No sign of Austin either, which meant he was either outside smoking or in some room with a girl. As long as it wasn't my old room, and the girl was of age, I didn't care. 5 or 6 people were dotted around the living room. The rest were in the kitchen, crowding the booze counter. There wasn't much to speak of. A bottle of vodka, a much bigger bottle of whiskey, and tons of beer. We stayed in the kitchen, moving around a guy and a girl who seemed to be mid-argument, and passing a man wearing a gray beanie. I couldn't see his hair, but I suspected he was a soldier, based on his build. My brother always seemed to gravitate toward people in service, even when we were in high school. Austin and I made a pact from a young age that neither of us would ever enlist. But he still had a natural draw to army life. Whether it was out of habit or comfort, the pull of the familiar and all that, I didn't know. His curiosity scared me sometimes. Kale stood near me by the kitchen sink, not touching or speaking, but close enough that I could smell the cologne on his shirt. The smell was sweet, and it made me wonder if he had other plans tonight. I wasn't naive. I knew the local clubs like Lone Star and Tempra were flooded with singles and single for the nights. But I didn't want to think about Kale at either of those places. I grabbed a plastic cup from the stack and poured in a little bit of vodka and a lot of cranberry juice. "Want one?" I asked Kale. He shook his head no. He seemed tense. Whether he was more tense than usual, I couldn't say. He looked at me as if he wanted to say something but couldn't. His eyes leveled on the cup in my hand. "I'm only having one since I'm driving," I explained, slightly defensive. Guilt didn't really feel appropriate, since I could crash upstairs in my old bed if I needed to.
"I don't like liquor much."
He didn't need an explanation, but it did make me wonder what it was that was making him seem so on edge. It was like he wanted to be present, but his mind was wandering back and forth between the kitchen and somewhere else. I tried to guess where and even considered straight up asking him, but the idea made my heart pound.
"I'll just take a beer," Kale said.
I handed him a can from the bin in front of me, next to the partition between the living room and kitchen. Shelves full of 8x10s of my dad and Estelle, and me and Austin when we were young, stared back at us. My mom had long since been erased from the record. Kale studied the beer for a moment, rolling it in his hand before popping open the tab.
"Natural light, huh?"
He raised his brows. They were so thick. They shaded his deep-set eyes and helped hide him from the world. Like he needed help with that. "Yep, the best of the best." I took a gulp of my vodka mixture. I felt it fast, my cheeks and tummy warming up. Kale took a drink of the watery beer. I lifted my cup to touch his can. "Happy birthday. You'll be drinking legally in about 3 hours, I joked.
"And you in a month,"
he said, taking a swig of the beer and making a face. I didn't blame him. I much preferred vodka over heavy bubbles of beer. It was my go-to when I drank. Drink less, feel more. Another plus with vodka. I knew exactly how much to drink before I would get too drunk. I'd pretty much mastered vodka. I'd been drinking it since Austin and I had gone to that seniors-only party back in South Carolina. Austin and I were probably the only freshmen there. We scanned the place when we arrived, but it didn't take long until Casey, a popular 17-year-old, made a beeline for Austin. She was one of the popular seniors. Popular. I hated that word. Austin didn't, though. He knew it was his way in. The moment he complimented Casey's eyelashes, it was something lame like, "You have the longest eyelashes." Well, that was it. 5 minutes later, they were tongue to tongue, and I was left to wander the party by myself. The only person who talked to me was a boy who had a mustard stain on his shirt. He had sharp canines like a wolf, and he smelled like orange Lysol. I left him in the hallway by the bathroom and found the vodka bottle in the freezer. It was cool going down. That's probably why I drank so much so fast. Too much. Too fast. I ran to the bathroom with my hand covering my mouth, holding in the vomit. Unfortunately, I ran into Lysol guy again, and he looked at me like I was the pathetic one. Maybe I was. I mean, I was the one pushing people out of the way to get to the toilet. But that was then, and this was now. That party was different. I was different. I had learned to hold my liquor, and I was no longer the girl who couldn't walk away from a scary guy without second-guessing herself. I felt safe with Kale, interested and interesting, like I was the senior at this party. Chapter 33. Kale was taking everything in. He wasn't obvious about it, but he was watching, analyzing, paying attention. We made eye contact, and he surprised me by being the one to break the silence between us.
"Just how I thought I would spend my 21st birthday," he said, taking another gulp of beer, and another.
Someone turned on an old Usher song and I smiled into my cup. People were definitely trying to set the mood if they were playing old school Usher. I was liking this group, even though I tried not to. I was a sucker for nostalgia.
"Wow, Usher. Well, take all the sarcasm out of what I just said."
Kale smiled. I hadn't known this guy long, but wow. I loved it when he was this way. Unguarded and funny. I laughed at him and he took me in. My mouth, my eyes, my mouth again. He wasn't subtle about it. Was he aware of the way he was looking at me? He had to be aware of the way he was looking at me. My head felt fuzzy and it had nothing to do with the vodka.
"Care!"
Austin's voice boomed over everyone and everything, including the blender being used to make some sort of neon mixed drink that I hoped wouldn't be splattered all over my dad's bathroom floor later.
"There you are."
He wrapped both arms around me. He smelled like beer himself. The thought passed just as quickly as it came. He hugged me tight and kissed my hair.
"Look at you,"
he said, holding his plastic cup in the air. I knew he was drunk. He wasn't wild, he wasn't belligerent, but buzzed for sure.
"Did you get a drink?"
Austin's green eyes were bloodshot. I reminded myself that he had just gotten out of jail, that he probably needed the drink. The fact that jail was a part of my vocabulary wasn't something in itself, but I refused to be anything but chill the entire night. I was there to blend, and now that Kale was there, I wanted him to have fun. "Yes." I held up my cup, and Austin nodded his head as if to say good.
"Did you meet everyone?"
His words were slightly slurred. His hair was messy, tousled, hitting the middle of his forehead. "Not yet, I just got here."
"You look happy. Are you happy?"
my twin asked me. His cheeks were flushed. I put both of my hands on his shoulders. "You look drunk. Are you drunk?" I taunted him. In a loving way, of course, but I taunted him nonetheless. He was drunk, I was happy, but I wasn't going to talk about it in front of an arguing couple in Kale.
"I am, as you should be," Austin told me with conviction. "It's so good to be back."
He raised his hands in the air. His happiness was contagious, giving me a burst of energy I hadn't felt in a while. Austin raised his cup to mine and then moved to Kale's. It took a second for him to register that Kale wasn't someone he had invited.
"Hi."
Austin extended his hand to Kale. I cringed, wishing I had poured double the vodka into my drink.
"Hey, I'm Kale. Nice to meet you."
The two guys shook hands like they had just made a billion-dollar deal.
"Kale."
Austin let that one sit for a second.
"Nice to meet you, man. We have drinks in here, pizza on the way. She knows where everything is,"
he said, pointing at me with his cup.
"You guys should come out to the living room with me."
Kale looked at me and I shrugged. I knew it was either the best or worst idea to follow Austin back to the living room.
"Here, refill your drinks and come with me."
I tried to make eye contact with Kale, but he was looking at Austin, who was asking how long he had been in the army. Austin could tell. Even without being told, he could tell. I knew that Austin wouldn't embarrass me by asking too many questions in front of Kale, but I also knew by the way he was looking at me that he was going to ask a hell of a lot of questions later. The arguing couple disappeared down the hallway, probably to have makeup sex in the downstairs bathroom.
I'm glad you came,
Austin said to me, leading us into the living room. He looked at Kale again and I rolled my eyes. Austin and I mostly stayed out of each other's dating lives. Not that there was much on my end to be nosy about. I had only had one serious boyfriend, who I had decided not to think about for the night. And as months passed, I realized we weren't as serious as I thought we were. I had been told I love you by someone who meant it. Austin was different, falling in love every week. He somehow managed to stay honest about it, channeling his need and loneliness into physical contact. If it was the thing that made his life just a little better, who was I to judge? I had that same itch, just no one to scratch it. Chapter 34. Kale and I were smushed together on one end of the couch. Not squished, not smashed, smushed. Austin and a guy who had introduced himself as Lawson were on one cushion. Kale and I were on the other.
You look so familiar,
Lawson said to Kale after a few minutes. Kale reeled off a few things that sounded like army lingo, and Lawson shook his head.
No, that's not it.
You say that to everyone,
Austin said. Then he grabbed a video game controller from a basket under the entertainment center.
Who's ready to play?
Not me,
Lawson said.
Time to go. I have to be up at 5 for duty.
He and Austin stood up and did that handshake thing guys do when they slap their palms together and make a fist. Once there was more room, I moved over a little on the couch. We weren't smushed anymore, but my thigh was still touching Kale's.
Do you want to play?
Austin lifted a controller to Kale, who shook his head.
No, I don't really play.
Oh, thank God.
Who wants to play?
Austin asked again, holding up a controller to see if he had any takers. The front door opened and a familiar face walked in. I couldn't remember his name off the top of my head, but I knew he and Austin used to hang out before he went to our uncle's house to keep out of trouble. Yeah, because that worked out so well.
Mendoza!
Austin rushed to the door to greet the guy in the Raiders shirt. Austin always collected people around him. He was good at it. The guy, presumably Mendoza, hugged Austin. His eyes landed on me as I stared him down.